How many of you believe that scripture memory is a good thing? Oh, that's great. How many of you have memorized a new verse this week? Let me see your hands. Okay, now just keep your hands up if you will, because I'm going to call on a couple of you to say your verse. Nella? Now wait a minute, what happened to all the hands? Everybody disappeared. Now everybody that memorized a new verse this week, go ahead and put your hand back up for just a minute. Now there should be somebody besides the BSU staff here that... Okay, sir, in the striped shirt. Let's stand up and let's hear it. Amen. Isn't that great? Now, who else had their hand up? Right, boy, there's a lot of them right back in here someplace. One of you girls. I've never seen so many chickens. Somebody that had their hand up a while ago, they memorized a new verse this week. Here's your chance to find out if you know it. One, at least, yes, please. And the reds, what do you call these? Blouse.
Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today.
Great. Doesn't it do your heart good just to hear somebody say a verse that just comes right out of their life? Something that's been very meaningful to them, something that they're beginning to put into practice and live through their own experience. That, I may have trouble here, James. That really does me good. Tonight we're going to talk about scripture memory. And we're going to talk about it in these four major areas. Why memorize, what to memorize, how to memorize, and how to keep on going in scripture memory. And I hope that this hits you in some point of need. Either why memorize, what to memorize, or how to keep on going in scripture memory. And you know, I suppose it should be enough to motivate us to scripture memory because God commanded it. As it says over in Deuteronomy 11:18, you shall therefore lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. You shall lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. It didn't say that you ought to consider this, or maybe one of these days when your schedule freed up a little bit, think about this, but something that God has definitely laid on our hearts, that we should lay up these words in our heart and in our soul. Or in Job 22:22, there it says that, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. Again, we're admonished to lay up God's words in our hearts. And all of this command from God and many other places to lay up his words in our hearts should be enough motivation. Sometimes we need some other motivations, some other benefits. And I suppose the strongest why, the strongest motivation that I can think of is just my own testimony of what scripture memory has done for me and how I got started. So before we get into the list of benefits, let me just share with you how I got started. I grew up in the church, but never really knew Jesus until I moved to Oklahoma City. At that time, I was desperately seeking fulfillment and purpose in life and had concluded that there was no relevance in the Bible or in church activities. And about that time, I met a particular Sunday school teacher. One of the first things that got my attention sitting in his class is that he called on a couple of the fellas in the class to quote verses to illustrate points that he was making. I'd always thought memorizing the Bible was for vacation Bible school or maybe for preachers, although I didn't even know any preachers who were doing this at the time. Later, he began to explain to me personally the difference between knowing about God and really knowing God and experiencing his fellowship. He put into my hands the tools for real and lasting spiritual growth. Because of his knowledge of the Bible, I too had a desire to memorize some verses. Now, I had begun to really get some blessings from my quiet time, but had difficulty remembering them and retaining them. I thought scripture memory would help with that. And I realized that when I'd go out witnessing with him that I didn't know enough truth to significantly share anything with anyone. Besides all that, there were these other guys in the class that could really quote those verses. So one day I asked him if it'd be possible to get me some of those little cards that I'd seen these fellows with that had verses printed on them. And he said, well, that'd be a real fine idea. But he didn't produce any cards. So later I asked him again, how about some of those little cards? Where do you get those cards? And he said, well, have you prayed about this? And I, you know, I didn't think you prayed about something like that, but I said, okay, I'll pray about that. The next time I saw him, I said, I've prayed about it, and I still want to go ahead, so how about the cards? He told me that time that he'd order a course for me called the Topical Memory System from the Navigators, and that while we were waiting on the course, I could memorize these verses. So he gave me a little booklet like this, and it's beginning with Christ, and there were four verses in it at the time, and I picked that thing up, and boy, it was just like a kid with a new toy, and I memorized those four verses the first day. The next day I saw this individual again, and I quoted these four verses to him just right off, very proudly, and he said, no, that's not right. And boy, that really did it. And I said, what's the deal? Why not right? He said, well, you missed a word there in 1 Corinthians 10:13. I said, make also, and it's also make, or something like that, and that really got me. Because all my life I had been praised all over the place just for showing up at church, and here I'd memorized a whole bunch of the Bible, and and I get criticized for missing one word out of 146 total. So I kind of chafed at the bit on that deal and asked him why he was so hard to get along with. And he told me that I could take my choice, either memorize it the way it is or just sort of make up my own. And it was very tender, but you know, I'd always figured that anything worth doing is worth doing right. So from that point, I decided right there to memorize Word Perfect. And that was the beginning of what, with these last 6 years, has been a life pattern for me. Now let me share with you some of the benefits that I've received from this activity, some of the reasons. And I suppose the best reason, the number one that I'd put, is personal growth. Personal growth. Now you'll notice the handout that you have, and I hope you have one. Sometimes this stuff is filled in, sometimes it's got a place where you have to fill in some information. This is just sort of to keep you awake as we go along. And by the time this is over, you'll have a slight personal investment in this information. Number one, personal growth. You know, the battleground is in the mind. That's where the battleground is. Satan can put thoughts in my mind. And you know, when we begin to think that everything that comes in on a divine wavelength is from God, then Satan's got us just where he wants, because Satan can put in the same sort of thoughts that sound very similar to the things that God puts in our mind. This is what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 11:3, when he said that I am afraid. And by the way, you might check this out. Paul was only afraid of three things in the New Testament, and this is one of them. He said, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So here's what Paul was afraid of, that our thoughts, your thoughts and my thoughts, would be led astray by Satan, by his cunning and his clever tricks all the time. And on down in verse 14 of that same chapter, he said, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And then in 2 Corinthians 10, he further describes the kind of battle that's going on in verses 4 and 5. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to conquer strongholds. He says, we destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now that sounds like a battle. You take captives in battle, right? So he's talking about taking every thought captive to obey Christ. This is the battle that we're involved in. And the mind is the source of all of our actions. This is where our actions come from. We don't just up and decide to do something all of a sudden. It's all coming from our mind. It's all a basis of our decisions, an act of our will. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And heart could very easily be translated their mind. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. And again in Luke 6:45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. A friend of mine put it this way, whatever is in the well of the heart comes up in the bucket of the speech. And so we see that what is in our mind determines what we are doing. I'm in the computer business in Oklahoma City, and we have a saying, GIGO, G-I-G-O. That stands for garbage in, garbage out. This is just to emphasize the importance of putting quality data into a machine in order to get meaningful answers out. You know, we are constantly being bombarded from the newspapers, radio, billboards, and even our friends with deleterious information or garbage. If you continually dump garbage into a paper sack and then reach your hand in and grab something out, what are you liable to get a hold of? Garbage. But if you're continually dumping good stuff into the sack and you reach in and grab something and pull it out, you're liable to get good stuff. And so that's what we ought to be doing. The best stuff that we can put into our minds is God's eternal, never-changing truth. We were talking at supper tonight with Max, and every great philosophy has lasted about a generation. And you know what God said about His Word? The thoughts of His... listen to this. Giving a talk on Scripture memory, and I can't quote the verse. It's Psalms 33:11. Who can help me out there? The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. See, that's what we're dealing with, eternal and never-changing truth. And the way to make this permanent in our minds is then to memorize it. You know how Rolaids are able to consume up to 47 times their weight in excess stomach acid? Are you all familiar with that scientific fact? Well, I believe that the Word of God has the same kind of power against the evil thoughts that plague us. I think that one truth from God's Word can consume up to 47 times its weight in excess bad thoughts that plague our minds from within and without. And so we find out in the Bible that our minds are to be transformed. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And you and I are continually, every day, either being conformed to the world or being transformed. There's only two ways to go. You're either being conformed or you're being transformed. There are two other things, two other methods that some people use to control their behavior. One is expression. This is what some psychologists and psychiatrists are telling us. Just express yourself. Whatever you'd like to do, just express. Let the little dears express themselves. We've got four little dears at our house, and I'll guarantee you that letting them express themselves is no answer. And then some people try to repress these thoughts and these impulses that they have. Just put the lid on, clamp it down tight, just hold it in. Our little girl tends to be a whiner, and she whines a fair amount. And we have counseled her repeatedly about the negative effect that it has on her eventually if she whines a lot. Now, when is she no longer a whiner? It's not just when she quits whining, because she may be a whiner inside and just repressing the urge to whine because she's afraid she's going to get a spanking if she whines. She is no longer a whiner when she has become a rejoicer, when she has replaced or substituted. And so that is the key for us, is substitution. That is replacing our thoughts with God's thoughts. There was a time when I was afraid to get alone with my thoughts. This especially occurred when doing something that didn't require all of my attention, like driving a car. I would think strange and bizarre thoughts, like maybe just driving off a bridge or into a plate glass window or into a crowd of people. And about this time, someone shared with me that this would be an excellent time to review scriptures. So I began doing this everywhere I drove. And suddenly, God's thoughts were consuming my mind during these periods, and not my thoughts. He must have had me in mind in Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. One night I was driving home from a very taxing appointment to a house full of Bible study people at my house. They were going to be there when I got there. And I tell you, I wanted to just drive off someplace else and not go home. I was so discouraged and depressed and tired, and I felt about as spiritual as that piano, and I don't know how it feels, but I was very uninterested in spiritual things. And here were the verses up on the dashboard that I needed to be reviewing that day. And finally, knowing the power of God's Word, I reached up in this terrible attitude and started going over these verses, you know, one at a time. And about five blocks later, my attitude was one of wild rejoicing. And you know, that's just how God works. That's just how God works. And then, number two, the Word builds our character as we grow. Acts 20:32. "And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up." God's Word is able to build us up. Acts 20:32. And then in 1 Peter 2:2, Paul says that as newborn babes, or Peter rather, sorry. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." So it's definitely a way to build up our character. And then it preserves blessings. It preserves blessings. Actually, now this is number two on your outline if you're trying to take notes. It preserves blessings. Many of you have been on a vacation and taken photographs. And later when you get back, you look at the photographs. The photographs that you have taken rekindle the same emotion in your minds and in your hearts as you look at those that you had when you originally experienced it. Or maybe someplace around your house there's a very humiliating photograph of you. And every time you look at that photograph, you are again humiliated. And so in the same sense, verses that we have memorized act like these photographs to recall blessings and the way God has used His truth to comfort us and challenge us and change our lives. And if we review that verse that has been such a blessing this month and then next month and next month, it just continually reinforces that blessing that God has given us as time goes by. Then the Word of God has a benefit in purity. David, who is king and warrior and even a worldly man, memorized God's Word. He said in Psalms 119, 9 and 11, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." He didn't say, "Thy word have I hid in mine chariot," or "Thy word have I hid in mine closet," or "in mine bookcase," or "in mine coat pocket," but "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And this works not only at work and in the world, but at home. You know, having the word memorized and available to God to use on me as need arises has been a great source of comfort. Number four, Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble." Isn't that good? Don't you like that? Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." 4 years ago at my home church up in Oklahoma City, I campaigned for deacon. Now, normally you don't think of campaigning for deacon, but I'm not too normal anyway, so I'd always had this secret desire to be a deacon ever since childhood days over in Chickasha, Oklahoma. The deacons were the guys that sat down on the front row and slept a lot and woke up every now and then and said, "Amen." And I just always wanted to be a deacon. And as we moved around in our first 6 years of marriage, living 11 places, I'd been elected deacon twice but never ordained because I was always moving on. So, and by this time, I had begun to memorize verses, and I had about 50 or 60 verses, and I had been having a quiet time, and I thought, man, I am eminently qualified to be a deacon. So I started campaigning, and here's how you do it. Even though I was not real regular at Wednesday night and Sunday night, I started showing up about 2 months before the election for all those meetings. And you go around, and you show up early, and you stay late, and you meet everybody. And you introduce yourself, and you shake hands warmly and firmly, and you say, "Hi, I'm Jim Kennedy, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y, you know, and you just make sure that everybody gets your name, and you hope they'll vote for you, and they didn't. Man, I lost it big. And I felt kind of bad about having such a, you know, bad attitude about it. And so the next year, up comes the deacon election. I'm thinking again, how am I going to react this year? Well, I didn't really campaign as such, but I still had these thoughts, and I couldn't even determine my own motives. So the night of the election, I was sitting in the church pew there with the ballot in my hand, and I didn't know whether I wanted the office for the honor or for the opportunity for service. So I decided, since I couldn't even determine my own motives, that I would not vote for myself. So what I did is I voted for seven. You vote for seven. I voted for seven other guys, none of whom had a chance of getting it. And that keeps me from, you know, putting in one of my friends, because I decided that if my vote would be the deciding vote, then I didn't want it to be that way. Well, later they announced the winners, if you can call it that, and my name was missing. And not only that, I found out that I had lost by one vote. And I know this may seem strange to you, but I was super hurt. And I can still experience, in telling you about it, the hurt and the... I don't know why you should be hurt, but I was super hurt. It's something I had counted on, something I felt so well qualified to do. As I left the meeting, a friend said, "I'm real sorry, Jim." And I said, "Oh, no, no, that's great. Just leaves me more time for other ministry. After all, God knows what's best." That must have ranked with the all-time record for phoniness. I just wanted to cry. And I know that my attitude was all wrong, and that made it worse. And all next day, I wasn't interested in spiritual things. I didn't have a quiet time. I had the verses up on the dashboard. I had divided my verses that I had already memorized into groups. And the Monday group was Genesis through Psalms. So I had these sitting up there, and I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just drove around from one place to another all day, acting like I was working. I just couldn't face anybody, and I was afraid somebody was going to call me on the phone. About 4 o'clock that afternoon, driving down Northwest Highway, I finally reached over and picked up the first pack. And, you know, I thought I had enemies in the church. And I thought, well, maybe this is what happened to me. My enemies ganged up on me. The very first verse said this, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive today, as they are today." And then I had such a rotten spirit. The next verse that met my need said, "Put a new and right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." And then here I was reviewing these verses, and I didn't much want to, but I was doing it anyway. And here comes this verse. "He did what was right, but sometimes resented it." And then this verse came up because I knew that I had the wrong priorities. I wanted deacon more than I wanted fellowship with God. And so then I ran across this verse, which gave me David's priorities. "The one thing I want from God, the thing I seek most of all, is the privilege of meditating in His temple, living in His presence every day of my life, delighting in His incomparable perfections and glory." And then God began to counsel me that maybe it was not time for me yet. I needed to wait. And I ran across this verse, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And my heart was so heavy and so breaking at this time, and I ran across this verse. It said, "The Lord is close to those whose hearts are breaking." And I, you know, I began to get some comfort. And then, because I knew that God was close to me, I don't believe I've ever had a time that tried me like that. And such a small thing, and that made it worse. So the next verse said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So right there, driving down the highway with my eyes wide open, I just prayed to God and asked Him forgiveness for having such a rotten attitude. And you know what He did? "As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us." That's what He did. "Remove that transgression from me as far as the east is from the west." And then I came upon a verse that said, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And then God really comforted me. In Psalms 139, He said, "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in Your book." What a time. I couldn't have had better counseling if I'd gone right straight into Billy Graham's office. But the Holy Spirit was there to comfort me at a time when I desperately needed it. Then the Word of God memorized is very helpful in witnessing. "And because of His words, many more became believers." Luke 4:41. Notice how these people became believers: because of His words, not because of His life. "And because of His words, many more became believers." And so as we memorize the Word of God and Jesus' actual words and are able to share what Jesus said with other men, then they are able to become believers because of His words. I believe this is what Paul was talking about in Colossians 1:28. Where he said, "So naturally we proclaim Christ," in a very natural way. He didn't have to haul out the scroll and unroll it. You know, he could just, in a natural way, everywhere he went, proclaim Christ. And he said, "Everywhere we go, we warn everyone we meet and teach everyone we can all that we know about Him." And this was Paul's way of doing it, very naturally, and everywhere he went. So he had to have the Word memorized in order to operate on that basis. Then the Word memorized in our lives is very helpful in ministry. Very helpful in ministry. 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the Word, for the Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. Now, you don't believe that, and I really don't believe it either, because if we did, we'd be doing more about getting ourselves equipped with the Word of God. The Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment, that's all you need, of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. And I can think of three particular areas of ministry here. One is counseling. In Romans 15:14, we are told that we are competent to counsel. You know, I found that no one is interested in my opinion, but people are interested in what God says. No one is interested in my opinion, but people are interested in what God says. And it's really great to be able just to piece together a half a dozen verses relating directly to a man's problem and help him make decisions based on the principles of God's Word. That is a thrill. Then in speaking, as you're speaking, to be able to quote the verse saves a lot of time. Keeps you from having to look up everything. And then as you're teaching, to be able to pull in cross-references and other truths and contrasts that pertain directly to the point you're making makes it much richer for the students that you're teaching. And you know, I suppose the most effective ministry, though, is that ministry which takes place from life to life. Not just a simple impartation of facts from one notebook to another, but sharing one life with another life. For this reason, I would urge you to memorize verses that meet your own personal needs. Not to memorize 65 verses on the plan of salvation and, you know, verses just to help other people. But memorize verses that meet your personal needs. Then as you're able to share these verses sometime in ministry, you're sharing verses which have met a personal need of yours, and that's ministering from your life to their life with God's truth. And then, having the word memorized, having a definite, serious program, a grown-up, organized effort gives a sense of seriousness and importance to the Word of God. Let me read to you what Moses said. Just before he died, he was giving kind of a swan song address to the folks there. And here's what he said about the Word of God. Lay to heart all the words which I enjoin upon you this day. Sounds like scripture memory, doesn't it? Lay to heart all the words which I enjoin upon you this day, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no trifle for you. See, the Word of God is no trifle. For it is no trifle for you, but it is your life, he said. It's no trifle, but it's our life. And then it makes the promises of God instantly and continually available to the Holy Spirit, using them in my life. And then finally, we read in Matthew that when Satan tempted Jesus, three times Jesus said, "It is written." So the Word of God helps us overcome sin and temptation in our lives. The Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. I can almost see the glint of sun on steel as Jesus sharply wielded the sword, which is the Word of God. I'm sure he didn't fumble or flounder or have to look up something in a concordance to know what God's wisdom said about those situations. You know, the Word stored in our hearts can provide this victory over temptation and show us the way out by making wise decisions based on His wisdom and on His principles. Well, these are some of the reasons that I memorize. These are some of the benefits that I've gained. This is the why. And now let's talk about what we might memorize. And I suppose if you had half a dozen guys come down, they would all give you some different reasons. Before we talk about what to memorize, you'll notice on page 2 there, I've given you a little place there to include all the reasons you have not to memorize. And there'll be plenty of reasons to put in that little box, all the reasons you can think of not to memorize. But there are some wrong motives, and let's just cover those very quickly. Number one is to prove spiritual superiority. Luke 16:15, Jesus said, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." You are those who justify yourselves before men. So don't be doing this just to prove spiritual superiority. Or you may memorize just to get something to tell people. Just to get something to tell people. And I know a lot of people who are memorizing to get something to tell people, but their own lives show no evidence of the Christ whose word is in them. And then possibly peer pressure. Doing it to just get on the spiritual bandwagon and then many times see it sink from all the dead weight. John 12:43 says, "They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Okay, what to memorize? Planning is very important in memorization. Don't be afraid to be just a little bit organized. It's not unspiritual to plan ahead. If you wait until the Spirit moves you to memorize, you probably will never memorize or do anything else as far as that goes. And there are some ready-made systems that we ought to know about. The Navigators, of course, have pushed Scripture memory and encouraged people in Scripture memory. And, for example, the Beginning with Christ booklet, which is the place where I got started. This would be excellent if you're just beginning. It now has 5 verses. They're on individual cards. or it'd be excellent to give someone. And I'm sure that you can attain that you can obtain these here in the bookstore. Also, the Navigators have a course that comes with three booklets that actually train you in the principles of Scripture memory, and also give you a verse pack and 60 ideal verses organized in topics. Then after you get through with that, the Navigators have Scripture memory packs, such as these. Here is one on growing in faith, and these are printed in King James, RSV, and New American Standard. Each of these little packs has 36 verses. So if you're having trouble finding verses, maybe you finished the TMS, here's a good place. Here's one called Walking in Victory. And there are several of these packs, and they're making new ones all the time. So this would be a way to pick what to memorize. Then the Bible Memory Association has a very good plan, and I have a little handout, a brochure from the Bible Memory Association in your handout tonight. It's a unique program. You sign up once a year, and now is the time to sign up. So if you'd like to sign up for this program, I have some sign-up sheets that you can fill out and mail in to the Bible Memory Association here at the front. The difference in this is you memorize a very heavy program, 7 verses a week, for a period of about 3 months, and then it's over, and you go back to your regular memory program for the rest of the year. Each week you meet with a hearer, and you recite the verses to the hearer. Each week when you have successfully completed the assignment, you receive a reward. And this is a reward that you would very much like to have. It's something that you would like to own. And so this is a very excellent program that you yourself might get in, or you might encourage some of your friends who are getting started. And then the Baptist Bookstore has several packs like this one called the Youth Pack. They have packs on witnessing and others. So you can pick these up from the Baptist Bookstore. The Campus Crusade has a memory system. And here's even one that I stole right straight from the BSU called Glorify the Lord, with verses for glorify, love, obedience, spelling out the acrostic of glorify the Lord. Then, beyond this, you can select your own verses. And this is possibly one of the most meaningful ways to memorize, is selecting your own verses. As we mentioned earlier, you should pick verses that meet your own personal needs. The verse that I'm memorizing right now is James 1, 19 and 20. And it talks about being quick to listen and slow to speak. And I have a real problem in this area. I am quick to speak and never listen. And so I'm really excited to see how God is going to be able to use that truth in my mind and heart to cause me to be more of the kind of person that He wants in the days ahead. It's going to be exciting to see how He does that. As you pick verses that you would like to memorize, write them down someplace on a future memory page. Maybe you could keep this in your notebook or in the back of your Bible. Or in my case, I have this little wallet that I carry around, and I keep future memory verses here. And then as I memorize those verses, I mark them out. So I've always got a backlog of verses ready to go in case I need one. The sources for these verses could be from your quiet time and Bible reading, Sunday school lessons, Bible study. You might want to take a project of memorizing one verse from each book of the Bible, or possibly one verse from several major events and stories in the Bible. But again, be sure and pick verses that meet needs of yours. Many people ask the question, which translation? And let me just say that you can either memorize from a translation or a paraphrase. And paraphrase, for example, the Living Bible or the J.B. Phillips. And translation will be, for example, the King James or RSV, New American Standard, or a new one called the New International Version, which I like very much. But there is a difference, and I would suggest that you stay with a translation, because a translation is a truer rendering of what was actually said there. A paraphrase is an attempt to tell you what the verse means. Let me give you an example from Ecclesiastes 11:4. I'll read this to you in a fairly accurate translation of what it says. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. That means if you're always looking out at the weather, chances are you're not going to get your crop in. The Living Bible puts it this way. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Now, that's what the verse means, all right, but it's not exactly what it says, and so you might be safer by staying with the translation. A friend of mine told me one time, don't settle for just one insight. And some of the verses, and I've memorized many verses in the Living Bible, but sometimes I've sort of settled for one insight because it's so plain. And going back to a translation, I see other possible meanings and applications it has for my life. What to memorize. Okay, now that we've picked out various sources and ways to memorize, let's talk about how to memorize. Several ideas. First of all, memorize word for word. Memorize word for word. And then write the verse out and write it out neatly. And your handout is an example of how you might write it out. On the face of the card, you notice on the right-hand side there, at the top, is the topic, which is Word, the Word of God, or the Bible. Then the verse itself is written in meaningful phrases, much the way you'd memorize it, one phrase at a time. Then at the bottom left corner is the date that the verse was memorized. The reason for doing this is so that as you review this verse daily, you'll have some way of knowing when you have carried it. For example, in my case, 60 days. After I carry a fresh new verse for 60 days, I put it over into a review group, and then I review it periodically. But this way I know when I've carried it for 60 days, and by that time I should know it adequately. Then in the bottom right-hand corner, the actual reference along with the translation. Then on the flip side, put the translation of the reference and the topic. So when you're reviewing the verse, all you look at is this side where it says Word and Jeremiah 15:16. You can fool yourself by taking one glance at a verse and read almost all of it very quickly and think you know it. So it's better in review just to look at the reference and the topic. Then study the context of the verse and memorize the verse with one phrase at a time with the reference before and afterwards. And as you go through the verse, say it out loud. So if you're memorizing Jeremiah 15:16, you start out saying, Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, Jeremiah 15:16. You say that until you had it. Then you'd add the next phrase, Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I ate them, Jeremiah 15:16. Memorizing one phrase at a time until you have the whole verse put together. Is that clear? Everybody with me? Okay, good. Then learn the verse with the topic. And the topic acts like the knob on a drawer. When you think of that topic, you can think of the whole verse. Then have someone check you. Have someone check you on your verses to make sure you're getting them accurate. And here are six principles that will help you in your scripture memory. Repetition. Say it again and again and again. Possibly an idea that might help you has helped me. Some days I write the verse that I'm working on, the reference, on my watch crystal. Whenever I check the time, I'm reminded of the verse I'm memorizing. Also helps learn the reference, which is the hardest part of scripture memory. And then every time I check the time, I review the verse. So by the end of the day, I've repeated it many times. Division. Break the verse into meaningful pieces. Visualization. Put yourself in the picture. Concentration. Put all else out of your mind. Recitation. Say it out loud. Sometimes I even sing it, or preach it, or act it. And then application. What do I intend to do about it? These six principles will help your scripture memory program. Okay, once we have been motivated to memorize scripture and pick some verses and we've got them memorized, how do you keep going in scripture memory? The secret of scripture memory is review. We can't say this too much. Review, review, review. Proverbs 4:13 says, always remember what you have learned. Proverbs 4:13. Some ideas about reviewing. First of all, use the buddy system. Have a friend. All things that require discipline are difficult, like running or lifting weights, are done much better with a buddy. And scripture memory is the same. As you review, always say the reference before and afterwards. This is vitally important for your scripture memory program. Now, let me share with you just briefly a system for how to review verses after you have too many verses to review them all each day. Divide your review verses into groups according to books of the Bible, starting with Genesis right straight through to Revelation, so that you have about 25 verses in each group. You carry the new verses that you're memorizing for 60 days with you all the time, reviewing those, and after 60 days you put them in these groups by books of the Bible. So you might have a group for Genesis, and then a group for Exodus through Psalms, and a group for Psalms, and various groups. Review these groups as often as you can and review one group each day. And if a group gets too large for one day, divide it into two groups. Make a cover card for each group, just another little card, and on that card list the references of all the verses that are in that group. As you review, just look at the cover card, and this will save time and also help make sure that you really know these. The cover card also helps you visualize whole chapters. Make an effort as you review verses to synthesize in your mind the entire message of that unit. And this will help you have a better grasp of the context of that particular verse and help you guard against taking a verse completely out of context. Now, as you're reviewing the verses, if there's one that's foggy, put it back in your daily stack and carry it for a few days until it's good enough to put back in the review groups. And then mark the verse in your Bible. In my case, I mark the verses with a circle around the number so that as I read, it's a reinforcing that I know that verse and I can review it. Now, meditation. This is an extremely important thing for us to be involved in, because the Bible does not promise success for scripture memory, but it does promise success for meditation. I had memorized about 40 verses when I finally sat down with this Sunday school teacher, and we spent an hour talking about Galatians 2:20. You know, I was just amazed that we could talk about one verse for an hour's time, because I had never meditated on a verse. I had no idea what it meant. Meditation has been defined as spiritual digestion. Spiritual digestion. Looking at a verse like carefully examining a diamond. Study every facet with an intention to build this truth into your life. Some ideas about this. Emphasize words as you go through. For example, if we were meditating on Jeremiah 15:16, we might say it this way. Thy words were found and I ate them. Next time we say, thy words were found and I ate them. Thy words were found, and I ate them. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And so we began to see the significance of each and every individual word there and think about what is the significance of that word in this verse. Then paraphrase the verse in your own words. Look up words in the dictionary. Some of my most meaningful insights into God's Word have come by just looking up the words I thought I knew the meaning of in Webster's dictionary. Realize what the verse doesn't say. For example, Jeremiah 15:16 does not say, thy words were found and I nibbled them, you know, or I sniffed them, but thy words were found and I ate them. So some of very meaningful meditation will come by studying what the verse does not say. Then get your own, work up some cross references to the verse. Then put yourself into the picture and ask these questions. Who is talking? What is happening? Where is this taking place? When is it taking place? Why did it happen? How is this being done? Ask yourself these questions. Then, His word, last word. To help you meditate, each night as you go to bed, have one of God's truths on your mind as you drift off to sleep. And you'll be amazed what it'll do for your sleep and for the way you wake up the next morning. His word, last word. Always go to sleep with a truth from God's word. Then pray the verse. Put it in your own words and pray the verse. And personalize it using the words I and me and my in the verse. Then preach the verse as though it is a text for an entire sermon. See how long you can talk about that one verse. And then practice the verse. Test it. Live by the principles and see if your life is not made richer. Then from time to time we should recheck our motives in order to keep going in scripture memory. Recheck your motives. What if I memorize for the wrong motives? Is this harmful? Well, not if you allow God to gradually remake your motives. However, if I'm not memorizing for the right motives, I don't need to worry, because nobody keeps up very long under this pretense. Chances are you'll drop out shortly, because a person only needs about 100 verses to be a real show-off. They say the most obnoxious guy in the group is the guy who's got 20 verses memorized, and you know, he's just compelled to quote them to everybody that comes up. Or if your motives have been right all along, perhaps you are drifting and don't realize it. We all need a tune-up occasionally. Be aware of this need and God's ability to tune us up. What to do when behind and discouraged? Two words from Philippians 3:14. Press on. Press on. This is what to do when behind and discouraged. Another thing you might do is get the BSU to ask you to do a message on scripture memory. Now, this will do wonders for your program. At least it has for me. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that when they called and asked me to give a talk on scripture memory and what it's meant, that I was really on top of things. But that wouldn't be the truth. It caught me in a low ebb. My new verses were coming along okay, but the review was just completely shot. The best wisdom I've ever heard came from the Army. When you are being attacked, don't stand still or retreat, but press on. And now that's what I'm doing by the grace of God. Then don't compare yourself with others, either favorably or unfavorably. Set your heart to be a finisher. And set a realistic pace. Set a pace that you can attain. And then use the memorized word effectively in your life. Here are some ideas how you can do that. One, share the verses that you have memorized when you're talking and writing. Every personal letter that you write should have at least one verse, how God is using a truth in your life. You know, God gave me this promise the other day, or God has really been convicting me about my need in the area of reliability, and here's what he said to me about it. And this will really minister to the people that you're visiting with. Now, if you're always preaching at them, that might not minister to them so well, but you can always tell how God has ministered to you. A second idea is don't always quote the reference. In fact, a good rule of thumb would be quote the reference only when it's absolutely necessary. Now, if you're teaching someone something, a Sunday school class, or if the guy's sitting there busily taking notes, then it's a good idea to give the reference. But there are a great many cases where people are just turned off by the reference and it gets in the way. The truth will have its effect whether or not you quote the reference. You could say this, God says, or Jesus taught, or Paul wrote, or the Bible tells us, or there's a verse in the Old Testament, and it just very smoothly and naturally flows into the conversation, the truth of God. An offense that turns some people off pretty bad is maybe a fellow is praying out loud in front of a group, and as he begins to pray, he says, and we're reminded of how the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 in the J.B. Phillips translation, well, God knows what translation that is and where it's located and everything else. And so maybe just go ahead and give the truth and let the truth alone minister to our hearts. And then make group scripture memory a part of your Bible studies that you're involved in. Then some of us have a great difficulty in developing discipline. So the next page of your handout, I've just recorded a bunch of information that you can read and study on your own about developing discipline. Let me just point out that the key verse is Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And then the last page of your handout is a commitment sheet. And I urge you to fill out this commitment sheet later on tonight. Just get alone with God and with some of the thoughts that possibly He has been putting in your heart these last 40 minutes. And here you have an indication, a chance to indicate whether or not you will be involved in scripture memory, how many verses you intend to memorize over the next 10 weeks, when you will write these down, who you will get to check up on you, and when you will get together with this person for the checkup. And use these boxes to record the verses that you'll be memorizing, and use this as sort of your progress chart for the way you're going to actually record the verses here and mark them as you've memorized them. I trust that what we've shared here tonight will be of benefit to you in your scripture memory program. And now just to summarize all these ideas, this is the light switch. My goodness. We'll wind up our talk on scripture memory. For some people, scripture memory is like shredded wheat, dry but nourishing. For others, it's like Brill Cream. A little dab will do you. For others, scripture memory is bitter but necessary. I pray that God has given each of us a desire to have a strong grip on the Word, which can be obtained by hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, and meditating. And although we have been discussing the why and how of memorizing, don't forget that God promises success to those who meditate. We should meditate on what we hear, what we read, what we study, as well as meditating on what we memorize. Pick a system such as the Navigator's Topical Memory System, the Bible Memory Association. Use Beginning with Christ if you're getting started or getting another started. The Baptist Bookstore or Youth Pack. Or pick your own. Record these on a future memory page in your Bible, your notebook, or success diary. Be sure to set a definite time each week to write your verses on cards. Write neatly with the topic, the verse broken into meaningful phrases, the date to enable you to practice the verse every day for 60 days, then put it in weekly or monthly review groups, and the reference and the translation. Norma, I think you need to hit the focus there just a bit, okay? Thanks. On the flip side, record the topic and the reference for easy review. Carry your verses in a verse pack like this one Dawson Trotman once used. Organize your review verses into stacks according to books of the Bible like this one covering Psalms. Learn your verse while shaving, doing housework, driving to school, waiting on the phone, or in the early morning before leaving home. A good way to learn the reference of the verse you are working on is to write it on your watch crystal. Too bad, girls. And review the verse whenever you check the time. Marking your memorized verses in your Bible will help you review as you read or study. This Bible has memory verses circled. And be sure to list your verses in your notebook. To keep going, have endurance and persistence and discipline like an athlete, but never fall into the hypocrisy of getting into a race with another man or comparing yourself with other Christians, great or small. Remember that the translation you choose is not near as important as the application you make. Translate the Bible into shoe leather so the world can observe God's principles and power in action out where you walk. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, we just thank you for the vitality of your word and your ability to bring it forcefully into our minds and our lives when we need it. And Lord God, we pray that all of us would have a greater desire for your word as newborn babes desire the sincere milk, and that we might be building your principles into our lives through regular program of laying up your words in our hearts and in our soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.